We're speaking now with Jeff Roberts. He is a Republican candidate for Bonner County Commissioner District 2. That's the seat currently held by his opponent, the incumbent Asia Williams. And Jeff, I want to say thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Appreciate it, Chris. Good to see you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out with an introduction. Tell us about yourself, your background, any qualifications you think that voters ought to know about, how you got here. Give us your story.
Hey, you bet. Well, I first moved here to Bonner County in 1990 as a teenager. Lived here for several years, came from a big family, three brothers and three sisters. My father was a regional coordinator for the John Birch Society, which is a constitutional educational organization. My mom was a full-time homemaker, so I was kind of raised in those values of American exceptionalism, values of the Constitution. Left here in the mid-90s, traveled around the Western United States, ended up having my own family. I've got six kids and my amazing wife, Bree. We built our own home up north of Priest River. Moved back here in 2019. Basically consider myself a political refugee, having seen, you know, the rest of the country, so much of it falling into heavy taxes, authoritarian government. And when I came back to Bonner County, I told my kids, you know, Bonner County is free because good people have made it that way and kept it that way. And it's not right to just move here and enjoy those freedoms without doing our part to maintain it. And that's really just been a passion of mine my whole life. I've volunteered in multiple, usually biblically centered and constitutionally centered organizations throughout my entire adult life. So the Constitution Party, helping getting that established when I had a Republican platform that I didn't feel I could vote my values. Coming back to the Republican Party in 2008, ran as a precinct committee person on the Central Committee, worked in the Ron Paul campaign, Campaign for Liberty, and then multiple constitutional organizations. So just really passionate about freedom. I love Bonner County, the Christian conservative culture that's here. We've got so much freedom here in Idaho that a lot of times you don't see that in a good portion of the rest of the United States.
You mentioned kids. How many kids you got?
Six total, three boys, three girls.
No, you replicated your own family there.
I got two grown boys off chasing their dreams. My 17-year-old daughter is down in Texas right now. She's wrapping up a one-year constitutional internship at Patriot Academy, and we're actually bringing her back next weekend. She's graduating, so we'll be down in Texas for a little bit, and the three younger teens still at home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, give us more details on your work life and how the kind of work you've done you think will prepare you for being a county commissioner.
Yeah, so I'm a small business owner, general contractor, residential home builder. We do a few projects per year, primarily on rural properties. I started contracting in 2001. I also spent nearly a decade and a half in the civil construction industry. Started out swinging a hammer, worked my way through the ranks to eventually becoming a general foreman and then a superintendent. So managing personnel, subcontractors, looking at a customer and isolating what it is they want to accomplish in their project, translating that to drawings, enumerating a contract that gives them their contractual obligations plus mine, and then bringing in a team of professionals, subcontractors, employees that each have their specialized fields to execute scope, schedule, and budget in a contract. So as a county commissioner, the role is primarily administrative. You're administering the business of the county, approving the budgets for the various departments, supervising numerous departments to keep the county going, the infrastructure, clarifying the needs of the citizens and meeting those needs within Idaho statute and Idaho Constitution. So it's an administrative position, but you do have a lot of latitude in the decision-making process. And I think that's where it's really important. You've got people in that position who value the citizens, their freedom, and want to keep government limited within constitutional boundaries. So I think a lot of that management experience that I have in the construction industry and working with the public and dealing with employees and subcontractors is going to carry over well to the commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, perennial question here for every candidate. Why are you running, Jeff Roberts?
Well, again, after watching so many other places in the country become authoritarian, less freedom for Second Amendment rights, you know, medical freedom, education freedom for your family, heavy taxes. That is something I don't want to see happen here in Idaho, and I don't want to see it happen here in Bonner County. Bonner County is growing really fast, about 3% a year. 80% of that growth is people coming from somewhere else. And so they may have different values, and we could see the culture change. And I've just seen the change since I left here in the mid-90s and coming back, you know, two decades later. Really making sure that we preserve this culture, the freedom, the landscape, all of the things that we really value in Bonner, which is why so many people are moving here. I just want to do my part to contribute. I'm not a politician. I don't have aspirations to be a lifelong, you know, government employee by any stretch, but I think Americans that value freedom really should step up, do their part, represent their community, and then go back into their private life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's translate that general philosophy to the top three or four issues that you think are most important in this election.
Well, three of the major principles that I'm running on is, number one, to restore professional leadership at the Board of Commissioners. So we've seen just a lot of turmoil and conflict over the last several years. We've lost a lot of key employees. There's been just kind of this air of a lack of effective communication and making the county work efficiently for the people. And I think it's time for some new blood and to bring in some professionalism. When you're running a business, you've got to be able to work with your associates, your subordinates, and your clients to effectively move forward. But when you have all this contention and strife, it really inhibits the ability to do that productively. So I want to really bring back some decorum, professionalism, and foster those mutual relationships with the citizens and the county employees, because I think over the last several years, if you've been watching what's been going on the Board of Commissioners, I think you have a pretty significant loss of confidence just across the spectrum. And then number two, I believe in functional limited government. So Bonner County is a Dillon Rule County, which means that we are a subsidiary of the Idaho legislature. They create the county, we're a Dillon Rule, so we don't dictate how we operate on the larger scheme of things. Idaho statute, Idaho constitution, Article 18, and then Section 31 and some other sections tell us what we've got to do. So we have to maintain road and bridge. We've got to have a sheriff's department, a prosecutor's office, solid waste, participate in a health district. So within those guidelines, we're maintaining functional government. So government's not going away anytime soon. For the people that want to see the wild, wild west and just do what they want to do, that's not a likely reality here in Bonner. But we can keep it limited within those constitutional confines. So I don't want to see government moving into healthcare. We saw during the pandemic where even here in Bonner County, we had mask mandates and started locking down businesses and limiting people from being able to go to church or go to government buildings to petition their government to redress their grievances, not even being able to, you know, go and visit their families in the hospitals. It was really a difficult time. And I think that demonstrates how badly government can get out of its lane. So keeping government confined to its constitutional boundaries is really important. And then lastly, I believe our rights come from God. They don't come from the government. They're inalienable to us. And property rights tends to be one of the first things that gets targeted by government when it becomes authoritarian in nature. So keeping that in check with intention, I think, is really important.
Well, let's follow up on that particular question here on private property rights. We're seeing situations, well, having to do with the way the county's dividing up. We're seeing subdivisions or minor land divisions occur. Can you speak to the minor land division issues that the county's faced here in the last several years where some see the minor land division as a way for developers to kind of skirt the intent of keeping our agricultural and larger parcels intact to maintain the rural character?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the minor land divisions were created in 2016, and I think the intent was good to kind of disencumber property owners from being able to divide their land without having to go through some of the more bureaucratic red tape. But I think over the years, we did see some developers, not all, abuse that beyond its initial intent. So it was amended a couple of times, once in 2019, as well as in 2023. But when you look at even the example at the Mountain Home Estates up here in Ponderay, we can see some of the results of when that's not being utilized by just property owners, but by developers that are acting in ways that I think are unscrupulous and not with integrity. So I think the idea of putting MLDs in check or even getting rid of them isn't a bad idea, which is what took place last year. I have a lot of frustration with the way that it was handled because you had an email that came out on March 21st saying, hey, what we can do is amend the agenda at the Board of Commissioners at the beginning of the meeting and then create an emergency agenda item, place a moratorium on the MLDs, and the idea was that would prevent developers from rushing in with a lot of applications for MLDs. The problem with doing that is it kept the people out of that decision-making process. What was also really frustrating to me, and I think a lot of other people, is the family exemption or the family split, which I think does have a lot of the safeguards that protect our landscape from being abused by developers that aren't operating within the intent. And so that the family split allows a family to do a one-time transfer to an immediate family member, either selling or gifting a portion of their property. But that family member then has to hold on to that for 4 years. So I think there's some pretty good safeguards, and it allows up to four of those per parcel. Having a moratorium placed on that, I think, really demonstrated more of an agenda of inhibiting the people's rights to utilize their property in responsible ways. So again, I think the MLDs were not, didn't have enough safeguards to prevent abuse, but I think we really do need to look at ways to help people utilize their property in responsible ways. And I think the family split's a good step in that direction.
Okay, well, let's ask a different kind of private property right question. And that has to do with how somebody who owns property out in the county, and they want to use it for a particular use that maybe the neighbors don't like. And we're seeing that with the Panhandle Bike Ranch in Sagal. They had a permitted use, and I can't even touch all of the different ways that this thing is developed, but they had a permitted use to create a bike ranch there. It's a non-motorized bike ranch. It's for right. mountain bikers, and it has a bunch of trails. The neighbors, however, don't like the impact on their neighborhood that having additional traffic come into that will transpire. So that's a kind of a classic private property rights issue. Whose private property rights should prevail in that sort of situation where you have a property owner who wants to use it for a perfectly legitimate use? You have neighbors that have a perfectly legitimate desire to maintain the current way their neighborhood is configured.
Yeah, those are some of those really difficult issues where you're trying to gauge and evaluate the individual's property and then how the actions that they're taking on their property are affecting their neighbors. And so those damages have to be quantifiable before you can say, all right, we want to really inhibit what you're doing on your property because we have to. So the third factor in that is Idaho statute telling us that we need to engage in planning and zoning. So as commissioners, we have some latitude when there's gray areas, but we have to uphold the law as it's written and the codes as they're established, because it's not right for a property owner to look at the codes and say, okay, I'm going to dot my I's and cross my T's, and then something comes up and we just arbitrarily either deny or approve without really looking at the facts. So I have talked to the owners of that bike ranch, and I've heard a lot of the concerns, and it's a pretty difficult situation. So a few of the factors that we look at is you have light and noise pollution, which can affect your neighbors, and those have decibels and lumen metrics in which to evaluate that. And you also have what's called fugitive dust, and that is a measurable effect on your neighbors. So if you're having a lot of traffic on a private road and it's drifting across into your neighbor's property, or you've got motorized vehicles disrupting the peace, those are things you have to factor in, but they're really difficult to establish. Okay, how do we balance this? So I know that that's going to be moving forward. I think they're under a conditional use permit right now, as I understand it, and I think that should be addressed here within the coming month, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I think you really have to look at each individual basis and try to make the best decision that you can, because if it's a gray area, at that point, it does become a decision that you can make, and somebody's going to be unhappy with whatever that decision is.
Well, let's ask you that question. Yeah. Where do you fall on that particular issue right now?
So in talking with the landowners there on the bike path, some of the frustration that the people were addressing was going to be dust and whatnot. So I talked to them about, okay, would you be willing, because this is a pretty big investment for them, would you be willing to make sure you can take care of the dust abatement and limit the amount of that dust that's going to be drifting onto the properties? And what kind of hours would you be looking at for traffic coming in, and how would that impact the neighbors? So really the best advice I can usually give people is try to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Negotiate those things in a way that you're looking out for your neighbor and trying to have an amicable relationship before we get government involved and litigation and things like that, because then it really becomes a mess. So I think just stepping back sometimes and looking at things from the other person's perspective is a good move. So as far as making a decision on that, I would really have to immerse myself further into it and make sure I understand all sides of the issue before I could make a decision one way or the other.
Okay, well, let's talk about another issue. And the fairgrounds have seen a certain amount of, I guess you could say, conflict over the management there. I'm not even sure the status right now between the county commissioners seeing themselves as managers and the fair board. What's your take on the fairgrounds?
Yeah, so I've actually talked to members of the fair board as well as commissioners regarding that issue, and we had a sit down last week with several members of both parties. And I think that again is one of those difficult issues. You know, the fairgrounds fall under the purview of the county commissioners, and they're responsible for making sure that they operate efficiently, that those grounds are maintained, and that financially they're being responsible. Talking to some of the fair board members, it had been difficult over the last several years to establish, you know, which programs were profitable, which ones were losing money, and how effective the program was. So I think that brought a little more scrutiny from the county commissioners because it's under their purview. They're responsible for it. I believe they're moving in the right direction and talking with fair board members and really establishing more robust protocols for isolating the different events and what their profit and loss looks like in that regard. And so, like I've said before, when you're managing crews, you don't want to micromanage your employees or your subcontractors. And so if they're operating well, if you know that they're meeting their responsibilities and you as being in a position of oversight, know that they're doing a good job, you kind of give them a little more of a hands-off. But if things are going sideways, or maybe there's some lack of transparency, or maybe just not clarification, then you've got to get involved. And that can be difficult sometimes, especially if there's been a history of more autonomy. So I think it's moving in the right direction. I believe they're getting some good people in there. I think they're starting to put together a pretty good plan. So I'm hoping to see that tension maybe dissolve a little bit. If I'm elected on May 19th and take office next year, we'll see where we're at then at that point. But again, I think communication is key and really trying to show a lot of mutual respect. I don't think this adversarial relationship between people that are working together as a team to run the county is a good way to operate. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but I really think people need to take a deep breath and realize we're all working together to make Bonner County work.
Okay. Well, one thing you're going to hear about, I guarantee you, if you get in the office, is roads. How do you think the county's doing with the maintenance and construction, where they can, of roads within the county?
I think they're doing a pretty good job. That's a major part of the county's budget. I think it falls second only to the sheriff's department. I know with what's going on in Iran, seeing the fuel costs, I know this was an issue a few years ago because there is so much diesel going into that equipment. And that can really affect the budget. And we're seeing another big spike right now. Jason Topp, that runs that department, from everyone that I talk to in the county, does a great job in securing the finances and the grants that he needs to make it operate. In seeing the meetings and the proposals, some of the bridge work that's going to need to be done in the future, I think they're on a pretty good trajectory. We'll see what it's looking like next January, but that's a key component to the county and how it operates. I know there's been some concerns that the budget may not allow for as much of the dust abatement that we've seen in the past, and I live 7 miles on a dirt road, and that can be a problem, but I think they're really doing the best that they can with it. We've got so much growth taking place in the county, again, at 3% a year, and with that budget cap of only being able to increase the county's budget by 3% over the previous year, our hands can get pretty tied. It can be pretty tough, so it's not an easy solution by any stretch, and again, we'll see what we're looking like in January and any choices we've got to make along those lines when it's time to do the budget.
Well, speaking of budget, how do you think the county's doing in terms of the way it manages the budget, spends its money, and do you foresee any need for tax increases?
I really hope not. When I look at the way some of the spending has been done here recently in the last few years, I think there's a lot of areas that we can tighten up our belt and save the taxpayers money. One of the issues, just even in Priest River where I live, was that snowplow equipment shed that got built. It came in on a federal grant at about $650,000. Most of that was federal money. I think we ended up picking up about 2.5% at around $16,500. But that's still taxpayers' money. You know, it's a great thing to have. I think anybody would love to have a great, you know, 2,000 square foot shop for their equipment. But that's a heated shop that's going to melt the snow when the equipment's parked in there. We've got to maintain that building going forward. And I think that just keeps us continually looking for grants, looking for more taxpayer money. I mean, we call it free money, but it's not. It's coming from Idaho taxpayers. It's coming from American taxpayers. And I think we really need to scale back. A government that governs least governs best. And really sticking within those guidelines of what we have to do for the county, as opposed to taking on more than we need to. And really, I think I'd be interested in seeing what would it look like to privatize some of these services And could it be more efficient? Because if we've got to maintain that building and keep that equipment in there through the off season in the summer, that's just added cost to the taxpayer. So looking at things like that, again, you know, the county clinic that would be a concierge service for county employees only that the taxpayers in the county would have to fund. I wouldn't even look at something like that as a constitutional
for healthcare
for county employees. Yeah, the tune of $1.2 million. That's a lot of money to take on for county taxpayers. And then you're competing against local medical providers and you're putting medical care in the hands of the county, which I think fundamentally is just not a role that county government should have. So things like this are just, I think, philosophical in your worldview. Is do you believe government should expand or should it stay limited? And I think when you really track a limited government approach, you'll start seeing savings over time because you're not expanding government, you're not increasing that burden.
Mm. Well, it would be interesting to dig in on those two examples a little bit more, but time doesn't allow. because, you know, somebody in the county must have thought they needed an equipment shed.
I do. I want one.
and, you know, without it, what's the impact on operations? And then with the healthcare issue, I don't know much about that either. But does that take the place of the county having to spend a bunch of money for health insurance for employees, and what are the trade-offs there?
Yeah, that's kind of how it was pitched, that it could potentially save money because it would be more like a Kaiser Permanente membership-based. It is voluntary, so not knowing exactly how many employees would engage in that kind of made it a gray area. The PMR associates weren't able to give us the metrics on if it could actually save money. We don't really know. But again, taking that out of the private sector and putting it into the hands of the government is just philosophically, I think, dangerous waters. We've seen so many government entities that start out as a great idea that are going to save taxpayers money, but just end up with a boondoggle around the taxpayer's neck.
Well, believe it or not, Jeff Roberts, Republican candidate for Commissioner District 2, we're almost out of time.
Oh, my goodness.
It just does fly. Here, let's close with this. I invite you to make any kind of statement you want, but why don't you address the question of why you? What, you know, what should voters be looking at when they consider you or your opponent?
Yeah. Well, I've spent my entire life volunteering for liberty-centric endeavors, really in any community, county, or state that I've lived in. It's been extremely important to me to represent my neighbors and the values that I hold, which is less government, more individual responsibility, and more freedom. And so I want to bring that into county government to maintain it from the inside so that we're not just complaining about government, we're actually doing our part to preserve it in the way that serves the people. So I'm really passionate about that. My experience in working with the public and running business, I think, is going to be valuable. I have met with county employees, elected officials, they're all excited. Well, I won't say everybody, maybe a few aren't, but for the most part, really excited about the opportunity of me being able to work with them in that county building, serving Bonner County. So on May 19th, guys, I hope you get out and vote. I'll be on your Republican ticket. Check that box if these values identify with you. Vote jeffroberts.com or Jeff Roberts for Bonner on Facebook. And I hope to meet up with you guys. I'll be touring around the county over the next several weeks, getting to know folks, and watch our social media for those events.
Jeff Roberts, thanks for taking time to speak with us.
Appreciate it, Chris. Good to see you again.